HarperCollins presents Ottilene Murrell, Life on the Grand Scale, by Miranda Seymour. Read by Elaine Claxton. It is indeed a damnably difficult thing to live fully, richly, gorgeously, and yet courageously. To live on the grand scale. O.M. Ottilene Murrell. Journal, March 1927. Introduction. Let's start with two images. One is of the aging Queen Elizabeth I in a small room in Hampton Court, dancing the Spanish Panic by herself to the music of a whistle and tabor. The other is of Lady Ottilene Murrell at 60, performing a music hall turn with old Walter Sickert, for the benefit of their amused young host, William Plumer. Strikingly dressed as always, trailing orange chiffon and jangling with jewellery, Murrell struck out with an impromptu can-can, raising and extending a stork-like leg, while Sickert, not to be outdone, did a series of high kicks. And while the unlikely couple danced, they sang, "I throw my affection in your direction, you're just my size and style." D.H. Lawrence was the first to notice that there was something Elizabethan about Ottilene. The resemblance embodied in these cameos of two spirited elderly ladies lies in their splendid dauntlessness and love of life. These are the qualities which I have tried to convey in this book, and to indicate in its title. A life on the grand scale, Ottilene's phrase, does not mean that she chose to live grandly, but that she was never afraid to live life to the full, to learn from her failures, and to embrace every experience, however hurtful, as a new adventure. Her courage was quite remarkable. My biography of Ottilene Murrell was first published in 1992. Back then, despite an earlier and warm-hearted biography by the Australian writing team of Sandra and Robert Jobson Darroch, Murrell's reputation was in the doldrums. Presented in the first version of Michael Holroyd's influential Life of Lytton Strachey, 1967-68, as an overbearing aristocrat who used Lytton's connections to get herself into artistic and intellectual society, she was perceived, at best, as the mistress of, among many rumoured candidates, Augustus John and Bertrand Russell, and as the wartime hostess of a beautiful but dilapidated Oxfordshire manor house called Garsington. Reading some of the tributes sent to her husband, Philip Murrell, usually pronounced to rhyme with Durrell, after her death in 1938, I encountered a different person. "She gave me a complete mental reorientation," Aldous Huxley. "A most noble and generous soul. There is no one to be compared with her," Augustus John. "A princess of the Renaissance, risen to shame our drab age. The impact of such a personality on her circle was tremendous," David Cecil. "Her courage was, of all the qualities, the one I most admired. Moral and physical courage." Duncan Grant. "It is very difficult to think of things without anyone who meant so much to me." T.S. Eliot. "She was so truly a great soul, and the finest character I know." Julian Huxley. "No one can ever know the immeasurable good she did." Henry Green. Describing the impact of Ottilene on the drab world of pre-war Bloomsbury, Virginia Woolf compared her to Helen of Troy. On another occasion, she told a sceptical Vanessa Bell that, visiting Ottilene in 1917, she had been "so much overcome by her beauty that I really felt as if I'd suddenly got into the sea and heard the mermaids fluting on their rocks." Loving words, but few of them were used to describe Murrell during her lifetime. Bloomsbury thrived on correspondence. The vicious things that were written about Ottilene by people she assumed to be her friends.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?